Mental Health Awareness Month, and last week actually marked Children's Mental Health Awareness Week, emphasizing the importance of an integrated approach to caring for the mental health needs of kids and young adults who've experienced trauma, as well as their families. Here in North Florida, the need is particularly great. Thousands of kids and families need help. But mental health is one of the most underfunded aspects of our healthcare system. In fact, Florida as a whole remains just disgracefully behind the times in the area of mental health. As an editorial, actually, in today's Florida Times Union points out, the truth is there's basically no system of care in our state when it comes to mental health. So as we look at this topic, as we look at Mental Health Awareness Month, and in particular, the most vulnerable sector of our population, our children, what is being done about this here in our area? It turns out there were a lot of people working within some pretty challenging restraints to try to have a positive impact. And one of them is Vicki Wadewich. She's with the Partnership for Child Health here in Jacksonville, and she joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you for having me.
We're talking Mental Health Awareness Month on the show right now, but particularly when it comes to kids and young adults. And we want to hear your stories. What's going on with your children? What are your questions? What are your needs and worries? Give us a call right now at 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online, send your emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Tweets to @MelissaInJax. And we want your comments as well on our First Coast Connect Facebook page. And the organization Mental Health America actually began Mental Health Awareness Month. Their theme this year is fitness for mind and body, looking at the whole person, the physical health, the mental health, all being interconnected, which is so important to talk about. But you, Vicki, at Partnership for Child Health, have the mission to advance the health and well-being of all children in Jacksonville. And so this May, when we look at mental health and our children, can you first bring us up to date on what you're working on this month?
Thank you. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and the Partnership for Child Health is actually a nonprofit that's been around in the community since the early 90s. And our mission, like you said, is just to, is very simple, to advance the health and well-being of children, youth, and their families. And we did this through research and identifying gaps in systems and developing processes and programs to fill those gaps with our community stakeholders. And recently, through a series of federal substance abuse mental health service award awards, we've been able to work with our community partners to provide services to help fill some of these gaps. Now, one of the things when we talk about May is Mental Health Awareness Month, it really is to bring awareness of the trauma and the impact it can have on the physical, emotional, and mental well-being of children and their families. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about 1 in 5 children have a mental health or meet the criteria for having a mental health illness, in a classroom of 30, that is 6 children.
Yeah.
And then 50% of those children over a lifetime of mental health will not, their symptoms would begin by the age of 14. And so some of the things that we've been doing to address this, one through a series of with our community stakeholders, is we've been looking at some of the gaps in these systems and what are some of the things that we can do to shore up those services. And so, for instance, one of the things that we've done is create medical homes for marginalized populations or for specialized populations for children with mental health conditions. And so if you think about pediatricians being the first place that a lot of parents go, and actually the National Alliance of Mental Illness on their fact sheet points parents to their pediatricians as the first line.
That's the gateway.
Exactly.
That's where parents start. But that's not always, not to knock pediatricians, but that's not always the correct answer for every child. It can be sort of, the pediatrician can sort of begin to get a handle on what's going on with that child. But that they might need more specialized help.
Exactly. And through the research, one of the, we've been very fortunate with the federal awards, is that we've been able to secure partners with, so for instance, through the research of Dr. Elise Faluco. She is a psychiatric researcher who, along with the Collaborative Care Project, has trained pediatricians. We've trained over 100 pediatricians in the community. And the idea is to increase their competency to be able to care for children with complex mental health conditions.
Now, we talked a minute ago about how in the state of Florida, there really isn't a real system of care for mental health. It's just a big black hole of, it's not what it needs to be. But I know that you at Partnership for Child Health are involved with what's called the Jacksonville System of Care Initiative. What is that?
Yes. So back in 2010, the city of Jacksonville received a federal grant to really look at the mental health system in Jacksonville. And we were awarded dollars to be able to bring together community stakeholders. And we've looked at, by bringing together these stakeholders and doing research, we've looked at some of the gaps in services. So for instance, one of the things we found that we needed more clinical competency with our clinicians. So we brought in training for trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy. We've brought in infant mental health training. We've brought in Dr. Faluco, who has trained pediatricians to be able to care for complex mental health conditions. Mm-hmm. We have developed youth and family-run organizations to be able to provide mental health support. And we've also brought in the SAMHSA Promising Practice of Wraparound, which is a promising practice designed to be able to provide care coordination for families and children who have severe emotional disturbances.
Often when you see signs of an issue in a child, what you're really talking about is the entire family.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times we have a tendency to try and treat the child in isolation versus looking at the whole needs of the family. And what we consider as professionals a success may not be what families consider success. And being able to ensure that the whole family is treated, because once that child leaves your office and goes back to that family, if things haven't changed in that family, it's going to be difficult for that child.
You also, at Partnership for Child Health, have launched a new initiative to develop a system of care for our kids that identify as LGBT.
Yes. Well, recently, with our community partners, one of the things that we have done is we've developed a website, and that it's really designed to be a virtual resource for children, youth, and their families, especially children and youth who identify as LGBTQIA+.
Wait a minute, that's a new acronym. Let's explain that to our listeners. LGBTQ, Q I know is questioning. What's IA+?
I is intersex, A is asex, and plus is gender conforming, gender non-conforming, gender expression, all those.
Big umbrella of children that fall along a whole spectrum of identities, right?
Yes.
Which, and so this can be baffling, I think, for many parents who might not accept their child, who might be hostile toward their child, because they fall into this category. What would you say to those families out there who are listening to you talk about this?
Well, it's interesting that you would say that, because the idea behind the website was last year when we there was a group of committed stakeholders that came together and realized that we didn't have one centralized location for families and youth who might be struggling with issues that potentially were not being addressed in other areas. So the idea behind the site is it's a child and family-friendly, community-based resource. And the idea is that it's there to provide resources for children and youth and their families that may have questions. And so it's still in its infancy. It is being populated right now with facts. And there will be resources that will provide the direction for families and youth who may want to ensure that they're going to providers who are committed and knowledgeable about providing care for this population.
And that website, by the way, is JacksYouthEquality.org. Okay,
yes.
Let's go to some calls now. It's Mental Health Awareness Month. How are your kids doing? What are your thoughts, questions? What are your stories? 549-2937. Arthur is in Palatka. Hey, Arthur, good morning.
Hey, well, kudos to your guest. Sounds like she's doing great work. My comment is, look, is the current governor we have has cut different programs like for mental health down to the bone. And he's a big part of the problem. And, you know, I pray that people get out and vote and do not vote him in over Bill Nelson. So that's my comment. Thank you very much.
Let's talk about the politics of mental health. Florida is an underfunded state, and certainly it's not the only one. Now, I know you didn't come on the show to get into a political discussion, but as today's Times Union editorializes, a big part of the reason why we have such a woefully underfunded system of care for mental health is because Florida's legislature declined the expansion of federal dollars in this state to expand Medicaid for lower income residents. And because of that decision, there are millions of Floridians who are in this sort of twilight area in terms of how they have access to healthcare, Vicki, that cannot access care. What about that piece of this?
Well, right. Medicaid has been, not because it wasn't expanded, it has inhibited the access to mental health care for some children, for a lot of families and children. And and that is just incredibly unfortunate for the 5%, because my understanding is there is about 5% that are uninsured. Lutheran Services Florida is the managing entity here that is oversees the mental health dollars for uninsured children. They do have an access line that is provided, and they do fund those services for children who do not have Medicaid. Unfortunately, now the governor did actually declare May 10th as Mental Health Awareness Day in Florida, but because we have an expanded Medicaid, that has become an issue. And with the federal grants that we receive for system of, and these are actually called system of care grants, the idea is that they are seed money for states and communities to be able to identify what they need, and if they need to increase the access by expanding Medicaid, that they would then do that to be able to support the work that's currently being done and that has begun.
If you're just tuning in, we're beginning the hour with a closer look at Mental Health Awareness Month this month of May, and in particular, what's being done to help kids and young adults with mental and behavioral health. Lauren on the north side. Go ahead, Lauren, you're on the radio.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I was just calling in to let everyone know that we opened up a private practice over on the north side. It's called Discovery Counseling Services. And we're just trying to reach out to that side of town. There's very little over there as far as mental health is concerned.
Right. And thank you so much for pointing that out, Lauren. In parts of town, not only do we have food deserts where people can't maybe get good groceries, we have access to care deserts, and that's an important point, too. Thanks for that call. Vicki.
So that's interesting. One of the first things that we did when we first received this funding was to develop the Federation of Families. And what we did there was we brought family members together who identified what were some of the issues they were having with access to care and what were the barriers. And one of the barriers was location, geography, transportation is a huge issue. And then the hours of operation of organizations, bringing those community stakeholders together. One of the things that we did, and the majority of all of the community stakeholders we have expanded their hours of access, and they also do in-home counseling. So many of the organizations in our community provide what's called on-site behavioral health services. And so it's great that we're opening up locations on the north side and in different areas, and also that the organizations are being responsive to community needs by meeting the needs of the families.
We'll go back to your calls in a moment at 549-2937. Meanwhile, here's a really interesting comment for you, Vicki. It's on our First Coast Connect Facebook page. Viviana asks, what is their take on the state's safety mandate they passed for schools? The recent law around school safety, it includes a lot of different pieces. But she goes on to say, there is certain funding in that package that goes toward mental health. How do they think the school district should be spending that portion of state dollars? That's something that got overlooked in all the discussion about gun violence, gun rights, gun restrictions, gun access. That legislation also included more dollars to go toward mental health services for children in our school systems. What about that? And I'm sure you know a lot more about it than I do. So please bring us up to date on what's being done there.
So that was actually some great legislation that happened where through a very unfortunate incident that we were able to get some additional dollars coming into the community. One of the things that I know the school has been working with the Kids Hope Alliance and United Way is expanding the concept of Full Service School Plus. And that's a model that actually through the research of the Partnership for Child Health, when we brought individuals down from the Maryland School of School Mental Health, and we identified what really needed to happen in schools, and that was really having a therapist in every school. And I know that is something that the Duval County Public Schools is working on with the Kids Hope Alliance, and they're looking at adding additional dollars to that to ensure that schools have mental health clinicians in each school.
And what's the status right now? I would guess it's like a patchwork. Some schools might have that, some might not.
Well, currently right now, some do have it and some don't.
Yeah.
Correct. And the full service school model has been around for a while. The full service school plus model, which is having a therapist in each school versus just a feeder pattern, is a recent development over the past few years. We have found that is a very successful model. It has increased the access of, or it has increased the opportunity for children to have access to mental health care on site, mm-hmm. and to be able to develop relationships with clinicians. And it really destigmatizes, which is also, we know, a huge issue with seeking mental health treatment.
That's an issue for kids and adults. That's an issue for everybody. I feel like we've come a long way in this country when it comes to destigmatizing mental illness and mental health issues, but we've got a long way still to go.
And that's true. And one of the things about training pediatricians and what Dr. Faluco found in her research is that 82% of families who were referred from their pediatrician for mental health treatment actually made it to mental health treatment.
Wow. There's so much more to talk about with this, so I hope you'll come back and bring us up to date at later on this year. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Vicki Wadewitch is with Partnership for Child Health. It is Mental Health Awareness Month.